And males can have a good.
You gave him better. Okay. Okay, so from Gemara to from Tosfos, let's take a look. And Geshmaka Tosfos Harash. But Rav Yitzchak says, the Nahar is there, it's all Kulam lo Pligi, no Rav Yirmiya, there's no Machloket. If I know I'm in Eretz Yisrael waters, there is no Machloket. If I know I'm in Eretz Yisrael waters, everyone agrees that I maybe get from a Sina, which is in the waters of Eretz Yisrael, for sure is treated like a get in Eretz Yisrael, no need for the Fanechtav, Fanechtav. What's the machlokes? Ela ki pligi b'yam ha'gadol. Machlokes is going to be in the Mediterranean Sea.
Exhibit A. Ooh, wah. This goes really well, so it's not exactly the,
Hold on.
Uh-huh.
No.
They do.
Not getting better?
They do, though.
Not getting better?
They do, though. We'll start here, we'll move up. We'll actually get into, ooh. Someone give me a hand? Oh, yeah, Ellie, you want to grab it? As you move it to places, you have to change that for it. Okay. What happens? Might have yourself a seat down there? There it is. So here's Eretz Yisrael, more or less. Down at the bottom. Everyone can see? There it is. This is where's Eretz Yisrael? Where's Chutzlar? There's a point over here, the northern end of Eretz Yisrael, called Turi Amnon. And you're going to draw a line from there, not necessarily southward, but across down to the southwestern corner of Eretz Yisrael. From the northwestern corner, from where the northern border touches the sea, until where the southern border touches the sea, so you draw a line across, you'll encompass a little more. The interesting detail, I mentioned to a couple of guys that there's a Talmud Chacham, a very significant Talmud Chacham, who lives in Baltimore. He's also by profession, he's a neuro-ophthalmologist, which means he deals with eyes, in particular, the brain-eye connection, and his particular subspecialty is perception. So in learning, he loves to learn everything, drum, tarot, special chachma, the works. He has a particular affinity for halachas that relate to perception. So he actually came to, and he also likes to do magic tricks. Connect to his interest in perception and misperception. He loves doing magic tricks. So he came to our shiur 3 years ago, and he gave a shiur on Tarah, dealing with the Amok Min Ha'ar, and how optical perception plays into the halachas of Tarah. Very fascinating, and he also did some magic tricks. So because he was coming to New York for a conference, was able to happen. So if he's coming over the next couple of weeks, I would love to happen to come for this, because he has a presentation that he spent must be at least tens of hours on Google Earth. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what Google Earth is?
What? Google Earth.
Yeah. Okay. You heard of Google Maps? So this is even... No. Thank you, though. You're not going to have the time now to work it out. He spent at least tens of hours working out exactly Daf Beis and Daf Ches and other Mishnayos and Gemaras, exactly what all these points are. Where is Turi Amnon? And where is Nachum Mitzrayim? It's already been in discussion for hundreds of years. The Kaftar of Atarach, where the Kaftar of Atarach was the one that we showed him, Rashtori HaParfi, who went to Eretz Yisrael in the 13th century, I believe, and wrote a sefer called Kaftar of Atarach, where he deals with the halachas, various halachas of Eretz Yisrael, because it was coming up L'maisa once the Jews were trying to move back. And he also tries to figure out, well, where all these cities mentioned in Tanakh, well, where are they now? And in particular, the Gulim. So all the Tanakh gives the descriptions. So, and then Mishnah gives a description, Talmud gives a description, what do all these things mean? So we should, Emir Hashem, if we can get him to come in, to work on these details, very, very fascinating. So for now, we'll have to put that on ice in terms of exactly where Nachum Mitzrayim is and exactly where Turi Amnon is. But so we understand that Eretz Yisrael, I wish we had a larger Eretz Yisrael map, but Eretz Yisrael, this is not the halakhic boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are going to go from somewhere around here, swing around, and then come finally end at somewhere along here. So the northern, where the north Eretz Yisrael meets the sea is Turi Amnon, where the south Eretz Yisrael meets the sea is Nachal Mitzrayim. Again, that sounds like a very thrilling name, Nachal Mitzrayim. Sounds like something to do with Mitzrayim, which is true. So does that mean it's right near the Red Sea? Does that mean it's some wadi over here, or somewhere along this border? Okay. So for Eretz Yisrael goes, this is not a small matter, this is a major question, but for our purposes at the moment, Eretz Yisrael obviously has a northern border and a southern border, and it borders on the water. So that chunk of the water, you draw a line across, that little piece of ocean, right over here, the Tanna Kamma says, Hanisim Shebayam, anything that's inside is outside, anything that's outside is Chutzaretz. Hanisim Shebayam, how about if you have islands within those waters, Ro'noson Kilu Chutz Masuach Aleim Yituri Amun Va'ad Nachal Mitzrayim. You imagine there's a chutz, there's a line drawn from Turi Amun in the north to Nachal Mitzrayim in the south, and you see, where is your island? Is your island inside or outside? Okay. Good. So what kind of comment tell us? That there's a rule of Eretz Yisrael, and then the little bit of the water right next to Eretz Yisrael to the Mediterranean Sea is also Eretz Yisrael. And he goes a step further and says explicitly that if there are little islands, not part of the mainland, the little islands in those waters of Eretz Yisrael, that also becomes Eretz Yisrael. You don't see part of the mainland, as long as you're within the borders, you're Eretz Yisrael. That's the sheet of the Tanna Kamma. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Everything that's opposite Eretz Yisrael, meaning I'm not drawing a more or less vertical line like this, but I'm going to draw lines going out like that. We draw lines to the west. I'm sorry? Sasha? You curious?
No.
Fair enough. Kosher, can I get a who cares to try? He says, no, he says, a massive chiddush, and let's get a better map to see this a little more. Eretz Yisrael is over here, more or less. I assume everyone's familiar with the map of the world. If you haven't learned basic geography, it's a serious concern in Tara Mada, but we're not going to fix that now. But I assume you know like where the United States is and things of that sort. Do you know where the center of the world is? Do you know where the center of the world is? The highest point in the world is right here. No, actually the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is the Gevurah Mikol about this. The high Mount Everest is a higher elevation. Mount Everest is several 5 miles high.
It only means spiritually.
Well, it also means I don't know why you say that with a with that sort of tone. let me tell you a story. Because we don't have a lot of time. Let me tell you a story very quickly. Maybe I shared with you in the past, maybe I've not. There was in the 1800s. There was a war, I believe, between France and Prussia. I think it was the mid 1800s. And
Franco-Prussian.
Exactly. Very good. Ah, I see. You're inspired. Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. So I don't know if this is or is not the war that they refer to, but it'll work. So the very first day after the declaration, back in the old days, they used to really have real declarations of war, not just executive orders. They really used to, do it right. They would do it formally, have a declaration of war, you sign it, and then only then do you have the rishus to go to war. So that's what they did. The first day of the war, there were thousands of French casualties. Thousands of French soldiers died the very first day of battle. Very heavy casualties. So the newspapers, such as they were in 1800, ran headlines that said that thousands of soldiers drowned in a drop of ink. The king signed a declaration of war, dipped the pen in ink, good old-fashioned pen, and the very first day, everyone understood exactly what it meant, right? It meant that drop of ink, the signing of the declaration of war, drowned thousands of... doesn't mean they all stuck their heads into that drop of ink and died of choking. It means that drop of ink, the signing of the Declaration of War, killed thousands of soldiers. So anyone who was alive at the time knew exactly what that meant. It meant. It's a cute way of saying that the Declaration of War killed 1,000 soldiers right away. Right? But imagine, doesn't it make sense? Okay. Imagine you're digging around in the library and you come across, you're looking at old scraps in the newspapers. You come across a little scrap of 150-year-old, 130-year-old newsprint. And he just have this little piece that says thousands of soldiers drowned in a drop of ink. You say, oh, fairy tales, ridiculous. Oh, what are they believing? Absolutely absurd. Yeah, without context, it's absurd. But who's being absurd? You're being absurd for just assuming that, oh, take everything at face value. It's not like, you know, if once you read the paper, the whole thing, it's not like you're saying drush or you're, you know, saying some apologetic answer that, no, the newspaper man really meant something. No, that's really what he meant. And once you have, there's nothing apologetic about that. Once you have the whole picture, you have the full perspective, that's obviously what he's trying to say. There's nothing Kabbalistic or mystical about that headline, and there's nothing apologetic about interpretation. That's Parshat Shah. That's exactly what they're trying to say. It's a cute way of saying, that's a poetic way of saying that the declaration of war killed thousands of soldiers. Without context, it will seem like a fairy tale. And without context, any interpretation is like, oh, you're trying to make something up. Okay. Or not. It depends if you have the context or not. So that's why, so if you take, if you will go with the assumption that this is a serious newspaper, this was a premier French newspaper in the 1860s, 1870s, whatever it was, and then you'll assume it wasn't just printing absolute, one hopes. They're not printing absolute balderdash.
One said that at the New York Times, though.
Maskim. Lishitasab, they're saying something very meaningful. Right? But they're not saying that UFOs are landing on planet Earth. Right? So so that's... Yusuf Salanti used to give this mushal. I should have to find of saying this over. Yusuf Salanti used to give this mushal. He spent a number of years in France, in his youth, doing kiruv in France. So he gave this mashal to understand, to put agadas in shas into proper perspective. And the Ramchal talks about many agadas in his essay, which we took over briefly last semester. The Ramchal talks about many agadas as being mashalim for Kabbalistic concepts. So Zosalanta said, often it might not even be a mashal for a Kabbalistic concept. Concept. Maybe this be might have been a mutterschmooze. Maybe it's been a muscle for something even more mundane, but just if you don't have a context, it sounds like it's, you know, pie in the sky. But pie in the sky doesn't really mean pie, it's an expression. Right? So if you understand the expression and you understand the metaphor, reading poetry, when you have a metaphorical interpretation, you have multiple levels of interpretation of poetry, that's not force. It's good poetry. That's exactly within reason, that's the world was meant. So that's shot. So this is so when the Gemara says that Shaul Gavon the Kalarasa, they may talk to me that Shaul the highest. I say you're the highest. You're the greatest. That means I say you're the greatest. It means you're the biggest person in the world. You have more mass. I put you on a scale. You're heavier than anyone else. No, I mean you're the greatest in some sense or another. Right? There's nothing apologetic about that interpretation. Is that Shaul the highest? It could be what it means the highest in the And that the Chumash stresses that by talking about only talking about going to Eretz Yisrael's Aliyah, someone leaving Eretz Yisrael's Yiridah. Those terms were not made up by the Jewish Agency or by Nefesh B'Nefesh. They go back. They were used by both because they go back to the Chumash. Or it could mean that Lamaisa, if the world is a globe, so you can look at the. There's no highest, there might be a highest, furthest point from the center, but the highest point is all a matter of perspective. Because once the world is a globe, there's no question how you turn your head. So it would make sense that from a halakhic perspective, the objective perspective on the globe might be that it's the Charles on the top. Because any perspective is good than the other, and that might be relevant not for now, might be relevant to a topic that we might occasionally take up on Thursdays, but not too often, and that is International Dateline. Right, but we will not talk about Thursday, we still not talk about now. Okay, so anyhow, Eretz Yisrael is Gavala in the Kalarasa, so that's right over here, and that you should definitely know. Now, so Eretz Yisrael, so if you go to Tanakhama, says that Tanakhama says that, okay, the waters are, Eretz Yisrael is basically this piece of land, drop of water right there, any island's empty, and a little sliver of water. And you say, no, you can draw lines across, all the way across to the Okeanos. What's the Okeanos? Okeanos is the ocean. Okean. O-C-E-A-N. Okean. The Atlantic Ocean. Exactly. That was the name they gave to the Atlantic. Let's take a look inside. Let's take a look inside at both sides.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kosher connected Eretz Yisrael, Reuk Eretz Yisrael. Whatever is opposite Eretz Yisrael, or going westward, is also Eretz Yisrael. Shenema, how do you know? Shenema, Ugvul Yom, Vayalachem, Ayama Gadol Ugvul. Zeyyelachem, Gvul Yom. What is going to be the western boundary, the Gvul Yom? It will be the Yama Gadol, the Mediterranean Sea, Ugvul, and boundary. It's a little bit funny, what's this? And the Mediterranean Sea and boundary. Well, I mean, the boundary is the Mediterranean Sea. You get up to the water, and that's the beach of the boundary. I mean, it's the water and boundary. Hayama Gadol Ugvul. So he says it must be that the Gvul includes. What I'm trying to say is, it's Adzad Bechlal. It's including the whole Mediterranean Sea. That's that, at least that chunk of Mediterranean Sea is part of the border as well. On the far side of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, Nisan Shevet Stadim, let's say you're going to have a... you're going to have, let's say, Crete, or you have some island that sticks part of the way into these lines that Rehuda's drawing these lines across, because there's an island that sticks in. So what do you do with the island? Again, you draw a chut. Ronos akil chut masuach alei mi kapaluria ad yom akianus uminacham Yisrael ad yom akianus. Now he has a different term for the northern end of Eretz Yisrael. He's calling not Toriamnon, but Kapaluria. You draw a line across from there, and you draw a line across from Nachum Mitzrayim, and that whole chunk of there is Yisrael. Menachut v'lefnim Eretz Yisrael, mechut v'lechut, chutz v'lechut. Okay, and the Gemara says, by the way, once you quote this Raisa, so, how did the Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda, his shita seems wild, but it's very surprising, but he had a sorcerer in Sukkim. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabban Hayu Gvul Mayav, what do you do with that Pasuk of Gvul? Mi by the way, l'nisim. He said, no, the island that teaches you, because I would have thought it's just that piece of little strip of water, and not even the island Shabon, the mainland. The Ugvul teaches you to be most of something. What are you most of? Because the Chum is most of the island and a little strip of water. He says, no, Ugvul teaches you most of the whole big swath of water. Or they're going across to the end of the Mediterranean Sea. Rabbi Yehuda, Nisim Otrichi, says, nah, that's a double pasha. If the water is kadosh, so the islands in the water are kadosh too. So it must be that the only thing that can be added is this whole chunk of water. That whole chunk of water. So someone asked before, 1 second. So back in the old days, there was a big machlokes whether the world was flat or the world was round. And it was far from clear that even if the world was round, it was far from clear that there was anything going on the underside of the world. But now we know we are living proof that there is something going on the other side of the world, right? We live in the Western Hemisphere last time. Some people are, Baruch Hashem, only here temporarily. Other people think they're here more permanently. But right now, at the moment, we're only in the Western Hemisphere. So what do? If you go all the way across, you end up, wow, San Francisco. It's also the highest of the high, in different sense. So San Francisco is, so you have things, hopefully only have legal plants going to San Francisco. They're kind of insurance from ISIS. So how do you tell them? The answer is no. The answer is no. Because you tell me why. You tell me why. It's Pasha Pshan, it's not. That's the thing. Right now, go all the way around the world. So why should you go all the way around the world? Pasha Pshan. Pasha. Why should you not be Makai of the middle of Manchuria?
Because you're in a different land.
Ah! And it says Yama Gadol. Yama Gadol is a name for the Mediterranean Sea. So if Yehuda's shita is just that the Yama Gadol is included in the Gvul. This is not Yama. When you say Okeanos, it's not Okeanos because they thought that was the end of civilization. Whether or not they thought that is irrelevant. The point is, that's no longer Yama Gadol. Right. Well, so the Tosfos they take up, well, how about this piece of land? The land that this water cuts through before you get to the Okeanos, when you're still in the Mediterranean area, whether it's Northern Africa or Southern Europe, so is that a tuna? That's the toast we can take up. Hashem, tomorrow, I will have a chance to be toasted more thoroughly. We'll pick up with a difference between toast to rush, a couple of small points or one major point, and then we're going to move on already. Perhaps even tomorrow, if not Tuesday, to Surya.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think. Ah. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.